Chapter 2 of Matthew. I think we know this story very well, but let's listen again to the word of God. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. So assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their gifts, they offered him gold, frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Yes, we normally think of the kings or the wise men and their gifts. Are you an easy person to buy for, or are you a difficult person to buy for? My wife says I'm the most difficult person in the world to buy for, but anyhow, in our family, and I don't know what your family does, but in our family, particularly for the adults in the inner circle, so to speak, that's our four adult kids and spouses, we have a Krispy Kringle, and I'm sure some of you do that. And the lady next door, she works out who gets what so that there's no cheating. And so there are certain rules. It's not allowed to be more than $30. You can find it by the side of the road. You can give something that was given to you that you don't want. You can give something that you've made or any combination of that. But it's not allowed to go over $30. It can be free, of course, if you find it by the side of the road. So I don't know what you do, but let me ask, what is the funniest gift you've ever been given? What's the funniest gift you've ever been given? No, it's not. I'm asking, what is the funniest gift that you've ever been given? Right. A what? A Basil Fawlty talking card. A Christmas open that Basil Fawlty talks Happy Christmas or whatever he says. Righto, a Basil Fawlty talking card without Sybil. Yes, without Sybil talking. Right, anyone else a funny present?
A pair of underpants with Mr. Level Crossing South Australia
embroidered on. Oh! Done by your wife. Righto. Anyone else had odd presents, Jill?
I can think of one for you, Colin. It's a lovely bookshelf out there.
Yes, look, there's a bookshelf out there. I haven't got anyone in the family who needs a bookshelf. Right. What is the biggest present someone has been given? The biggest, in size, the biggest present? No? What's the biggest? Yes. Oh, right. Right, so a cubby house is a pretty big present when you're a little kid. Yes, very good, very special. Right, anyone else? A big present? No? No? Yes, Joyce? Right, so when you get perhaps your first bike and you're a little kid, that's a big present. Right. Anyone else? No? So we've got the funniest, the biggest, the most unusual. The most unusual. No one's game to admit to a most unusual. Who's finished their Christmas shopping? Right, you've finished your Christmas shopping. And I've mentioned once before that one of the ladies at our church at Allgate, I said to her, this is my size and blue is my colour. And I said to her, but if you can't find something blue this size, a check will do. And I've told you, I think, that she came with a box about this size, all wrapped up in blue paper with a blue bow on it. And when I undid it, inside there were six blue check handkerchiefs. So she combined the blue and the check, and very clever, Sue. Yeah, so there's lots of creativity, of course, with Christmas presents. But here we've got an interesting little story that's easy to pass over, or to pass over as a kid's story. And today I want to just say, let's take in what is actually being said here. When Jesus was born, they said, where is he? We have seen his star. Can we just pick that up? We have seen his star. Now, obviously, these men were astrologers. They're called magi or astrologers or whatever. But at the same time, what an interesting thing to say, we have seen his star. So you would think that if they're looking at the heavens every night or whenever they're looking, that all of a sudden there is a different star and they're saying his star. There is something special about this. Something special about this star. We have seen his star. His star? Where did they get that from? This is a different star, because it signifies someone who is special. They must have thought, this is significant. I mean, you don't suddenly grab some gold, some incense and some myrrh and go hiving off on your camel or whatever you went on without realising this is a special message. And as we go on and read to the end of that, after they've met Herod, then not only did they see the star in that spot, but then the star took them to where Jesus was exactly. The next thing that happens to them is that they have a dream. And the dream says, don't go back that way, go another way. So my first question is, yep, there are people who study stars and do all the rest of it. But my question to each of us is, how do we get direction from God? How does God speak to you? So I say to the children or the Bible, that's fine. But I doubt that many of us get any direction from a star, not like this. Our Indigenous friends, yes, they would be into dreams and visions, and different cultures have different interpretations of the way God speaks. But the question here is, not only did he speak to these wise men or these magi, but the question is, how does he speak to us today? So how does God guide you? That's part of this little story. What is in it for me? Oh yeah, great story, bring the gifts. No, actually there's something more here. What is it that God is communicating to me? Now, we've hit Christmas again. Rush. But is God saying something to any of us at this particular point in time? Is he perhaps saying, stop and go slow? Is he perhaps saying, you're not where you should be spiritually? Is he saying, what are you really following? Or have you made up your own mind about certain things? It's important for us to stop and to think. So they saw, they saw his star and they followed. Now, of course, we know the story with Herod. He gets very upset, angry. He's thinking, hello, someone's going to take over from me. I'm not going to be the king anymore. I'm not going to be in charge anymore. Yes. Now, you notice, of course, that although there were three presents, we don't know how many wise men. We just assume that there were three because there are three presents. Some of the traditions say there were actually 12. Oh, that's not right. Well, maybe it is. Who knows? We think it's three because they had three. There were three presents, but as I say, it could be 12, it could be who knows how many. We're not told in Scripture. So if you go to a Christian trivia quiz, you've got an answer there. When they say how many wise men, you can say, well, actually, we don't know. And they'll all say, ah, here's one of those smart Christians. Yeah, so now what they actually brought. And I said to the children, the things that they brought. And I've got them here and you can come and have a shake and a smell and a whatever else afterwards. Just the frankincense and the myrrh and the gold. We had a man living next door to us who had 2 kilograms of gold under his bed. He was a bit afraid of banks and everything else. I'm never sure how he got it, but anyhow, he had it there, 2 kilograms under his bed. Right, so we have Caspar, Melchior and Belshazzar. Suggestion is that Melchior was an old man, Caspar was young and beardless, and Belshazzar was just with a newly grown beard, and I think that's probably a bit of, made up as well. But this is the three. It's interesting, isn't it, that these men come and they're actually Gentiles. They're not Jews. Jesus' message comes first to the shepherds, the outcasts. The people who come, the three wise men or however many there were, are not Jews. It's interesting. He came to his own and his own didn't receive him. This is an amazing story. The fact that they say, pardon me, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen, born king of the Jews. Did that mean they'd been studying some scriptures as well as the stars? Is that a challenge for us too? Born king of the Jews, they're not Jews. Do we need to be studying, as Ian said in his prayer, do we need to be studying the world as well as the things of God and put those two things together? A combination. It seems that these men studied the stars, studied the word or studied what they had, put it together and understood it was Jesus or a king. Maybe we need to too, the signs of what's going on. Now, the things that they bring, as I've said, are fairly common and just a reminder of who they were. And they were overjoyed, the Bible says. Go and search. And when it came to rest, they rejoiced, in verse 10. Again, how long do you reckon it was before they arrived? See, some people don't celebrate Christmas until about the 6th day of January because they reckon that's the time frame for the wise men. And it's interesting that it starts with born in a manger. Now, did they stay in that shed for a long time? Or did they move? Well, the Bible now says the place where they were. So again, the suggestion is that maybe they'd moved in with friends, with family, or they'd moved from the stable or the out place into a more permanent structure. Because surely if the wise men are coming, they're taking time to get there. And that's where they found Jesus. They entered the house, that word is, and they saw Mary with his mother. How amazing. The shepherds saw the manger. These guys saw the house. Amazing. Amazing. So they knelt and they gave these gifts. We need to keep this together too. We need to keep together the fact that not only was there gold for the king, but there was the link of God and man. The frankincense for the temple worship, the myrrh for the wrapping of a body. So here we have God and man coming together in what they give. Now, did that just happen? Or is it God inspired? Or where does it come from? Why would these men bring these specific gifts? Just to offer to the king. Again, I say, friends, how does God speak to us? And I laugh with the children, and you probably laugh too, when we think of, what would you wrap up or give to Jesus? What would you give to Jesus if he was here today and said, I'm coming to your place for Christmas. Don't miss me out in the gift giving. So what would... chocolate? Gold? Don't look up or I'll ask you. Right. What would you give, Bev? Some clothes. Right. What sort of clothes? Oh, right. For a baby. If it was a baby. No, I mean Jesus now is adult. Jesus now is adult.
Give him a hammer.
A hammer, because he's a carpenter. Mm-hmm. Sandals worn out, new sandals. Over here, did someone say something?
Not sandals, Birkenstocks.
Oh, Birkenstocks, right. Right. It's interesting, isn't it? What will we give to God if he was here? And what part of our Christmas celebration is he involved in? It's interesting. The psalmist says, what shall I give to God for all of his goodness to me? This is Psalm 116. What shall I give to God for all of his goodness to me? In the Living it reads like this. What will I give back to God for the blessings he has poured out on me? So what can we give back to God? I mean, we say he's God. He's got everything he needs. I mean, It's a rhetorical, in a way, a stupid question. But in another way, isn't this what we need to think about when we look at these men bringing gifts? What do I give to God this Christmas? And so the psalmist says, what can I give back to God for all of the blessings he has poured out on me? I will lift high the cup of salvation and I will pray in the name of God. How wonderful. Ruth, what do you want to say?
Our love and
ourselves we can give back to God, right. He says, the psalmist, I will lift up the cup of salvation. Depending on your translation, I will take the cup of salvation. Wouldn't it be sad, friends, if anyone here doesn't know Jesus? Because this is what he says. What can I give to God for what he's given to me? I will take almost with both hands what he has offered, which is salvation, which is the coming to him. As he comes to us at Christmas, we take with both hands what he offers to us, which is himself, but the cup of salvation. I will pray in the name of God. And then he goes on, the psalmist, to say, and I will complete what I promised God I would do, and I will do it with his people. Now, that's the living. You'll find it a little different in some other translations. But we get the idea, don't we? What will we give to God? We really can't give anything except, again, to take the cup of salvation and lift it up and to pray in his name. Now, there's another little catch bit there, though, that says, and I will do what I promised to do. Is that like a New Year resolution? Is there anything in your past that you've promised God or said to God, I will do this, but you haven't done it?
They weren't core promises.
Pardon?
They weren't.
They weren't promises. Righto. They were just ideas, were they, David? Oh, they weren't core promises. They were just peripheral. Righto. They weren't the core of things. Yeah, we get the message. What can we give to God? Nothing. Just take what he's given and do what we've promised to do and march on from there. What a blessing that is for Christmas. Is there anything else you want from God? Is there anything he hasn't given that you desperately need? No. Let's compare ourselves with those who have less than those who have more. And let's rejoice in what God has done. Let's give thanks. Our Father, like those wise men, may we observe and may we obey. May we follow where you guide and lead. We can't bring gold or frankincense or myrrh. They're just temporary gifts, expressions of who you are. But we can bring our lives, and we do this morning. Afresh, with both hands, we take that cup of salvation and we say, thank you, God, that you have given to me what I could not buy or achieve in any other way, but simply to accept what you offer. And we thank you. And so may our Christmas, yes, be a celebration with family and friends, but may it also be a time of reflection as we think about what we have promised, what we are praying, what we are doing. For Lord, may we do it with thankful hearts, rejoicing in the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus to us. And we thank you in his name. Amen.